Don.
Don. Hi everybody, this is Austin Burney from Your Podcast, and I had the chance to interview one of my all-time favorite movie makers, Farhan Akhtar. He was in Dubai promoting his next release, which is Dawn 2, and we had a great chat about Dawn 2, how he kind of came about making the movie. I even posted up an interview, a generic kind of media type interview a bit earlier, but I put in the challenge for myself that I would ask more film geeky questions. So this is the You Podcast, so it's going to be intensely geeky. I'll be asking him about how it felt to step out of the shadow of the original movie. I got to ask him about the 3D post-conversion and the kind of issues it might have. We got a chance to speak a bit about his career. The movie's coming out in the UK the 21st of December and releasing in India and globally on the 23rd. So I hope you enjoyed the chat. Drop us an email at youpodcasting@gmail.com. I hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening.
Hi.
Hi,
thanks for joining us.
Is it
not too crazy in Dubai with all the promotions you're doing and the premiere?
No, I mean, people are excited about my film. If anything crazy, I think they're very same people who should be excited.
I mean, I saw the new trailer, I think, Mujhko Pehchan Lo. It looks amazing. We're really looking forward to it.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thank you.
So let's just jump into it. Dawn 2 is releasing the 23rd in India. It's releasing 2 days earlier in the UK, right?
I'm not too sure of that. I mean, a couple of people have asked me this question, and I think I possibly need to just check in with someone regarding this, because I don't seem to have this information.
Okay.
You know, so I'm not sure.
So, well, if it does, a big thank you from the audience in London, because if we do get a chance to see it a bit earlier, we'll be really happy.
Right. Actually, can you just hold on one second? I can just maybe just check with somebody. Just hold on one second.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's releasing in the UK on the 21st. That's right.
See, awesome. We're really happy for that.
Yeah, so I guess that's right. I think you know more about the release date than I do, see?
Yeah, I have it marked on my calendar. I have a Siri reminder set and stuff like that. So, last time we saw Dawn, he was on the airport about to leave. There was the big reveal that Vijay hadn't survived, but it was Dawn. Where does the story kind of pick up without, I mean, spoiling anything?
So the second part really, actually, yeah, it takes off from 5 years later from where the first one ended. When we first see Dawn, he's kind of relaxed, you know, laid back. He's been enjoying the good life, the king of his domain. And then, of course, certain events occur that need him to step back into his work mode, so to speak. Right. And that's where the film starts from.
Okay.
And so it's another crazy Dawn adventure, which, of course, has as many thrills and twists and turns and a lot of action this time.
Yeah.
So it's truly an out-and-out action entertainer.
Yeah, it seems to be this movie, looking at the trailer, it's really gone on a global scale. So has Dawn really gone global now?
He's kind of migrated from Asia to Europe, which was the closest continent that he could move from. So he's currently there in this film, and so we'll see how it goes. But I think Europe is pretty international as far as Indian films are concerned, at least.
Okay.
You know, so he's kind of there trying to make his mark and take over whatever it is he can, which is really the plot in the film.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously the first Dawn was a remake slash, actually more of a reimagining, I would say, than a remake. So how do you feel kind of stepping out of that zone of remakes, reimagining, kind of making a fresh story? How did you approach that?
It was nice to have that freedom, you know, and what was nice and what I think was an advantage was that we already had a couple of characters, which the audiences were very, very familiar with. So we didn't need to waste too much time at the head of the film, you know, or expend too much of the audience's energy in trying to establish who these characters are, what they're doing in this film, what do they want. You know, so in a very quick, telegraphic kind of manner, we could just remind people of who Roma is, who Vardhan is, who, of course, Dawn everyone knows, but who these characters are, and you just get straight into the plot of the film.
Right.
You know, so within the first 5 minutes, you're really truly into the plot of the movie, and you know exactly who everybody is, and you know, you kind of get a sense of, okay, now I know where it's headed. And in the writing of it, I've written it keeping in mind a very true action genre style of writing, you know, so which is, you're working towards, like, there's one single focus in the film, you know, and it doesn't really kind of stray from that. There's not too much going on in terms of too many subplots and too many other kind of distractions, you know. It's very committed with Dawn's story, and it's very committed to what Dawn wants to achieve by the end of the film.
Right. I mean, again, looking at the trailers, it seems also very gadgety, very high-tech. I mean, even a few shots reminded me of Mission Impossible, which is releasing around the same timing. And I think they also did a premiere in Dubai just around the same dates that you guys did. So is this the kind of area that you want to place Dawn as a franchise or a brand now?
I think on some level these films do inhabit the same world, you know. So whether it's Mission Impossible or whether it's I don't know, the Bond films, you know, these are movies that they are action thrillers.
Right.
You know, and if you're making an action thriller that has a kind of a global appeal and it's set internationally set, it's not set within India, there is a certain kind of treatment that you can do with it, and it starts kind of reflecting or reminding, you know, you of maybe a film that you've seen shot in that part of the world before.
Yeah.
You know, but again, what's important is, I haven't seen MI4, so I can't really comment on the film per se, but to me what's important is that the story of this film is an Indian story, you know, and it's an original story.
Right.
And that is what's going to set it apart from any other film that may kind of resemble or remind you of, or you of something else.
Yeah. I think Shah Rukh really seems to revel in these roles. I think he tweeted a while back that you finally made the poster with the gun and the girl, and that's the kind of poster he's always wanted.
I think he does truly, truly enjoy playing this character, you know, and I think for him as an actor as well, I think it's a change, you know. I mean, he's usually playing the good guy, the clean cut guy, you know, the guy with absolute, like, great morals.
Yeah.
So it's nice once in a while to kind of wear a different hat, you know, and play a character with a mean streak, you know, and a character who likes to manipulate people, and is not the nicest guy in the world, you know, but at the same time, gives such an opportunity to be very charming and very witty and very stylish, you know. So as an actor, it's a nice release, you know, once in a while to get to do something different.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to hear you say that, because I would like to know how you see Dawn as a character, because, I mean, obviously you made a very big twist and a change in the storyline in the first one, where, I mean, in a way, the older version was kind of the triumph of good, whereas I didn't feel in your version that was the case. So do you see Dawn as a naughty character or a villain in a way?
If you have to break it down into very black and white, then, I mean, of course, he is a villain. There's no getting away from that. You know, but the thing is that in my treatment of it, I try my best not to keep it so black and white. You know, it's important for you, I mean, for me when I'm writing, that characters need to be relatively grey.
Mm-hmm.
And with Dawn, I think what is kind of interesting, and I think what makes him endearing to people, and why people are so fascinated by him, is that he is, I think, very, very honest about who he is. You know, he doesn't pretend to be anything that he's not.
Yeah.
And somewhere, whatever it may be, whether it's good or bad, somehow human beings have a gene in their body, you know, that tells them immediately to respect someone who is very honest to who they are.
Yeah.
You know, we have problems with villains, I think, who show you one face but have another. You know, that
right.
They pretend to be good, but actually they're scheming and conniving people behind your back.
Yeah.
Those are the people that we can never respect, and those are the people we would never want to be like.
Mm.
You know, but when someone is very honest about who they are, and is telling you that this is how I am, you can take me at face value, love me or hate me.
Yeah.
You know, and somehow with that, and because of how he is and how he speaks and how he kind of manipulates people and how he uses his words, and how he charms them at times.
Right.
We've grown to like him, and we've grown to understand that, you know what, I mean, he may have his faults and he's got all this going on, but he's not hiding behind a facade, and maybe we should just appreciate that about him and like him for that.
Right, yeah. I think maybe we see enough of people that have facades in real life, so it's kind of refreshing to see somebody on screen that...
Yeah, I do feel that. I mean, I do, because I do think about it quite often, you know, as to why people would be so fascinated, you know, and so eager for a sequel to someone who is, in the most generic sense, a villain.
What is so, and
I think in my understanding, I think it's about this. I mean, of course, it's make believe, you know, so it's not obvious, like, oh, this person really exists, and it's morally wrong for us to like him. It's make believe, you know, and it's entertainment, which is one. But within that, I feel that there is a certain, you know, enjoyment in seeing a person just being himself and being very, very honest about that.
Because I had this thing when I was rewatching the first Dawn yesterday, just to kind of prepare for today's conversation, and I kind of felt sad for Vijay dying. You know, he was such a nice guy. You know, he didn't deserve to die.
Nobody really deserves. Nobody.
Yeah, but can we talk a bit about the 3D aspect of the movie? Because you've post-converted this, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, you've had a really busy year, so I imagine you probably haven't had a chance to go out to the cinema and watch other movies, but I think this 3D trend has kind of come over from Hollywood, or this reemergence of 3D, let's call it that way, but not that many post-converted movies have been really successful. How do you kind of feel about that?
I guess it depends eventually on the experience with each individual film. You know, I don't know if we can make such a generalized sweeping statement that converted films don't work. The thing with conversion is that it's not simple to do. You know, it's a tricky process, and you have to give it a lot of time, an adequate amount of time, so that they can do it to the best possible use of the technology that's available to do it.
Right.
And also the involvement of the director and the DOP, you know, to ensure that they are discussing the effect, depths of field, whatever it is that they want as the effect for the film, that they need to be creatively involved and not just leave it up to someone to decide what they want the film and the effect to be like.
Right.
And if you can manage to do that and give it enough time, I think you can come up with something that's very special. I've seen the 2D version, of course, and I've seen quite a substantial amount of the 3D version in a theater. And there is something special about it, you know, and it does have the ability, and it does have the power to include the audience a lot more into the world that is being created. So hopefully, I mean, if it is eventually in theaters, if it's presented well, you know, I think it will make for quite a special viewing.
Yeah. I personally am looking really forward to the 3D version. I think it probably looks awesome, those car crashes and those.
Cool, great. I hope you like it when you watch it.
Just a few more questions. I mean, I was looking at what all of the movies you've made, you know, like with XL Entertainment, and they seem to be very personal movies to you, you know? You know, like Laksh or Dil Chahta Hai, Zindagi Na Milegi Dobara. And Dawn seems to be a complete opposite in a way. It seems least personal, but very, very successful. So how do you balance those sensibilities?
It actually is a very personal film. I mean, the first one was made truly out of my personal love for the original film. And it was made out of my personal love for basically the films of that time, of the 70s. I grew up watching those movies, and they were a huge influence, and still are. They're a big influence on me. So that it came from a personal space. And now my love for this character comes from a personal space. So it is personal to me. Each film that I make, I mean, it may not be a real film, and it may not be about real characters, but it's still personal. It's still my love for this person, or for this character, or for this story that's enabling it to happen.
Right. And, I mean, how do you kind of look back at, I mean, you've been almost, I think, close to a decade now that you've been making films and being almost like a triple threat in a way, you know, actor, producer, writer. How do you look back at whatever, I mean, what you've been able to produce up to now?
I think it's been, I've been quite fortunate to have worked with some really, really talented and interesting people. I've also learned a lot from everyone that I've worked with up to this point, you know, and hopefully that'll continue. But again, I mean, it's, you know, like what has happened, I'm very thankful for it. But I mean, the focus really is always on what's happening now and what's going to happen next.
Right.
You know, and for whatever it's worth, I think people have been very supportive of my work, pretty much from the word go, from Dilchart, I think. You know, they've been very, very supportive and have been very, I don't know, and have been very, how would you say it? Kind of almost they've been warm towards me, you know, and I appreciate that tremendously, and I see that as some also kind of responsibility then, you know, towards those people who decided to have this kind of faith and decided to have this kind of trust, that you want to make sure that you can, that if maybe the film, there may be a one-off film that they may not like, but just that they understand the intentions were always the right intentions, you know, and that I've never started taking them for granted, or I've never started not thinking or not caring about them. You know, to me, what these people feel when they watch my film is very, very important to me, because, I mean, they've been there with me, for me, from the start.
Mm. So how do you feel when a movie doesn't maybe shape up the way you want it to? Does it make you feel bad, or do you just kind of let it go and move on?
Are you talking about shape up in terms of making of it, or are you talking about the box office?
Wouldn't you agree they're kind of related in Hindi film cinema, or do you feel they're very separate?
No, not really. I mean, no, they are separate. I mean, you could make a movie that could be appreciated by a few, mm. you know, and may not do that well at the box office. And you could have a film that nobody has anything really good artistically to talk about or say anything about, and it could be a runaway success.
Mm.
So it depends, you know, on each film.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, I mean, if in the making of a film, if I feel that there's something missing, I will do whatever I can in my ability to rectify it before the film releases, if I feel that way.
Right.
But once the film releases, and if the film doesn't do well at the box office, for example, that's something you have to take in your stride, you know, because, I mean, it would be foolish of a person to start believing that every single film that they make, you know, is going to be a huge success, because at times you may believe in an idea that other people don't yeah. get, or they don't see the same way, you know. So, I mean, that's really a part of the business that we're in. So, I mean, that you have to take in your stride.
So what's next for next year? Rock On 2 is coming. I think I saw a poster somebody tweet of Talash. Is that already released yet, or is that somebody snuck
yeah, but the poster, no, that's not an official poster. I think someone's just put something together and created their own poster.
But
that should be out next year. I think in June is when we plan on releasing it. So that's quite exciting. We're working with Amir again after 10 years, 11 yeah. years from Singh Dil Chahta Hai. So it's nice to work with him again. So that's one film that we're doing as producers, of course. And the other film that I'm going to get to work on in March, from March, is Rakesh Mehra's film,
yeah.
Bhag Milka Bhag.
Okay. And are you producing that too, or writing, or is that just an actor?
No, not at all. It's an acting assignment.
Okay.
Rakesh is the producer and, of course, the director.
Okay, so that must be refreshing for you to just kind of focus on the acting and not having to do all of the 10 things at the same time.
I think it's all a part of the learning curve. You know, I mean, so far the films that I've done that I've acted in, I've also produced.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of nice to have this opportunity now to take it a step further and then work with, and start working with people also who are doing some very, very interesting work. And Rakesh is an amazing director. You know, he's made one of my all-time favorite films, Rang De Basanti. So to work with him is really going to be quite a pleasure.
Yeah, yeah. And no news on Rock On 2 yet?
It's in development right now, and my fingers are crossed. I probably want it to happen a lot more than you do. so let's see how it goes.
Great. Well, I know you have tons of interviews, so I could really thank you for your time, and hopefully we can have the next premiere in London then.
Yeah, why not? Sure, we'll try and work towards that.
Thanks a lot for your time, Farhan.
Okay. Thank you very much. All the best. Bye.